So Psalms 119, verse 1, this is what the Bible says. It says, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways." Now tonight, from the very get-go, what you and I have to understand is that, hey man, you're not blessed, I'm not blessed, no one is blessed unless God says they're blessed. Do I have a witness in the house? How many of you realize that if we're going to be blessed, man, that means that we're going to have to possess, we need to have the very things that God calls blessings, the very blessings that God gives in order to be blessed. How many of you realize tonight the world has a definition of what blessed is? They have an idea of what blessed should look like, and how many of you realize tonight God's definition is different? And so tonight, if you're really going to be blessed, no one is really blessed unless God says they're blessed. And so the Bible comes along here and it says, and if you read it with me again, the Bible goes ahead and explains to us who's blessed. It says, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart, with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways." Tonight, I like the Amplified Version's definition of blessed. The Amplified Version says this: blessed means happy, fortunate, and to be envied. Somebody say that right after me. Say blessed. That means, all right, we're going to try it again. That was kind of like the heart thing earlier. All right, say this with me. Say blessed. That means happy, fortunate, and to be envied. I don't think you quite got it just yet. Say happy, fortunate, and to be envied. How many of you in here can raise your hands tonight and say, man, I want to live a life that's blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied? All right, so if you will with me, just for the sake of that, let's go ahead and look at this verse again with that in mind. The Bible says, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are those who keep God's testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. And tonight I want to focus really on verse number 2, the latter part of verse number 2. So if we read it again, it says, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are those who seek God with their whole heart. Who seek God with their whole heart. How many of you realize tonight God is after the whole heart? Let me say it like this to you. God is after the whole of your heart tonight. God is after all of your heart. God is after all of your life. Always been that way. Always will be that way. God is after it all. You know, I'm so thankful tonight that we come to a church and we hear all the time, man, God wants all of your heart. God wants all of your life. The only time I think we get into a little bit of a problem is when you and I sit there in our seat, and because that kind of a statement, that kind of a phrase is mentioned every time we have an altar call, we kind of think in the back of our mind somewhere, well, that kind of a statement, giving God all of your heart, giving God all of your life, that really applies to people who are unsaved. Really, the people who need to hear a comment like that are those who they haven't made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and so from time to time we'll just brush it off. But tonight, how many of you realize that even as Christians, we can live life with somewhat of a divided heart? How many of you realize that even as Christians, we can live life and our pursuits and our purposes are somewhat skewed a little? They're a little off balance, not wholehearted for God. All the while, God is after all of our heart. God is after all of our life. Listen, guys, tonight, God is after every piece of your heart. Listen, guys, God tonight is after every compartment. God is after every facet of your life. God isn't interested in a divided heart. God doesn't just want portions of your heart. God is interested in it all. Tonight, God doesn't want to speak to certain areas of your life while your friends speak to other areas of your life. Tonight, God doesn't want to speak to certain portions and certain facets of your life while secular music speaks to others. God doesn't want to speak to most of your heart while your college professors and philosophers speak what they think life should be like. God wants all of your heart. Listen, guys, God is not interested in forming certain portions of your heart while Hollywood and while movies, while the TV screens form and fashion other portions of your heart. God tonight, he doesn't want to dictate certain facets of your life while your girlfriend, while your boyfriend dictate you a little bit differently. Listen, guys, tonight, God doesn't want to dictate and speak into certain parts of your life while your personal interests speak other things. While your hobbies speak other things. God is after all of your heart. Listen, young adults, tonight, God is after all of your love. Listen, tonight, young adults, God is after all of your attention. God is after all of your pursuits. Listen, guys, tonight, God is after all of your devotion. He wants all of your devotion. Tonight, God is after all of your worship. You know the song just as well as I do. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. And what I love so much about the song is it has this thing about it that brings us all back from time to time to a place where we can say, you know what, God, if I'm honest with myself tonight, you know what, God, today, if I was honest, I have to say I've been living it with somewhat of a divided heart. You know what, Lord, this week, I have to admit, this past week, I've been living life somewhat with a skewed purpose, a little bit unbalanced, not quite wholeheartedly for you. I love the song because it brings you to a place where you can say, you know what, Lord, this past month, this past year, 2010, if I'm going to be honest, Lord, you know what? I have to say I've been living life somewhat with a divided heart. You haven't been at the center. You haven't been quite the focal point like you need to be. But Lord, here I am today to worship. Here I am today to give you all of my praise. How many of you realize tonight, too, the word worship does not just speak of a slow song that we sing to the Lord, but the word worship speaks of our lifestyle. Lord, here I am to worship. Here I am to live for you. Lord, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, Lord, you know what? You're the one who dictates my life. Lord, you're the one that I'm yielding to. Lord, you're the one that I'm submitting to. Here I am to bow down to only you. Lord, here I am to say that you're my God. You're number one. You're first place. You're the one who sits on the throne of my heart. Here I am to say, you're my God. God is after all of the heart. God is after all of your life. Tonight, God wants to be your everything. Tonight, God wants to be your all in all. He wants to be your creme de la creme, the cream of the crop. Listen, guys, tonight, God wants to be the apple of your eye. Do I have an amen in the house? Listen, tonight, God is not interested in church attendance. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying stop coming to church. You know, that's the last thing we need. Pastor Joey said, God doesn't want church attendance. That's all what I'm saying tonight. But God doesn't want church attendance in the idea that, you know what, I'm here to pay my penance. I'm here to say I attend two church services a week. God is not interested in us getting together and singing a few songs just to be cool. That's what we do. God is not interested in lip service. God is interested in the whole heart. Listen, guys, tonight there's a lot of single people in the house. God does not care about you falling in love and getting married as much as he cares about you falling in love with him and making sure that he's your first love. Don't get me wrong. God has every portion of your life planned out. He has the best for you. But listen, guys, when that idea, when that purpose, when that pursuit takes a priority or place higher than it should, we're skewed, we're unbalanced, we're missing it just a little bit. God wants all of your heart. Tonight, God is looking for people who are crying out to him saying, you know what, God, you are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me, make me, change me, teach me. This is what I pray. So tonight, God is after the whole heart. Tonight, there's three things about our heart that we need to consider. If God is after the whole heart, God is after all of our life, then there's three things that we need to consider in regards to our heart. Number one, what is my heart full of? What is my heart full of tonight? You're there in Psalms 119. Go ahead and look with me at verse number 11. Verse number 11. The Bible says this. Remember, we're talking about what is my heart full of? Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Listen, guys, tonight, in other words, the psalmist is saying here, God, I haven't just heard your word. God, I haven't just read your word, but God, I've taken your word to heart. I've taken your word to heart. So much so, Lord, I've taken your word to heart so much so that I've actually taken it and I've implanted it within the depths of my heart. I've taken what you've had to say in your word, what you've had to say to me, Lord, and I've put it down in the very center of my heart, in the deep recesses of my heart. God, I've put it down in the core of my being. God, the psalmist is saying here, God, I've taken your word and I've placed it all the way down to the place that makes me me. God, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So tonight, young adults, have you just been hearing God's word? Have you just been reading God's word casually? Or have you taken God's word to heart so much so that, like the psalmist, you've planted it within the depths of your heart? You've taken his word and you've planted it within the recesses of your heart, all the way down to the very place that makes you, you. The psalmist says, Lord, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because he had taken God's word so to heart, he wouldn't do anything that would violate his relationship with God. He wouldn't do anything that would hinder God from working in his life. Why? Because he had taken God's word to heart, had hidden it down in the depths of his heart. Tonight, have you done the same? I like this same verse in the ESV version. This is what the Bible says. It says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Or in other words, I have filled my heart. Lord, I've taken your word and I filled my heart all the way to the top, all the way to the brim, all the way to the place of overflowing. Lord, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Listen, guys, tonight, have you stored up God's word in your heart? Tonight, what is your heart full of? Tonight, what have you placed in your heart? Tonight, what do you allow to be placed in your heart? What do you allow to be poured in your heart? You and I have to come to a place where, like the psalmist, we can say, Lord, I've stored up your word in my heart. Listen, guys, so much so that every time life brings about life, every time you face a circumstance, every time you face an issue, every time you've got to make a serious decision for your life, man, God's word is popping to the top to confirm or to reject or deny what's taking place, to help you be strong in the midst of trial, to help you endure all the way to the end. Am I talking to anybody in here tonight? Have you stored up God's word in your heart? Tonight, I think it's safe to say that God is not interested so much in what's in your wallet, but he's interested in what's in your heart. How many of you know the commercial? I know you know it just as well as I do. What's in your wallet? Well, tonight, what's in your heart? All right? So God is interested in the whole heart. Number one, what is your heart full of? These are three things about the heart that we need to consider. Number one, what's in our heart? Have I filled my heart with your word? Hidden it down deep in the depths of my heart? Have I stored it up? And number two tonight, what does your heart thirst for? If you're taking notes, number two is, what does your heart thirst for? If you have your Bibles, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read in verse number 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. This is what the Bible says. It says, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Tonight, what are you hungry for? What does your heart desire? Tonight, what is it that your heart longs for? The Bible says that blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What is your heart hungry for tonight? Is your heart hungry for the things of God? What is your heart hungry for tonight? Now listen, tonight, don't just answer that question in pretense. In other words, you know what? I know the right answer is my heart is hungry for God. I'm really hungry for God. And so that's your answer. But how hungry and how thirsty is your heart really tonight for the things of God? And what do you hunger for? How hungry is your heart? Is your heart really? And what are you thirsty and hungry for? Listen, I'm glad to say tonight I'm happily married. God has blessed me. Me and my wife are expecting our first little baby boy. And I can't wait for that little guy to get here. So my wife, she's 4.5 months pregnant. And I just have to tell you something about pregnant women. Are you ready? I'm just kidding. Listen, when my wife is hungry, she is hungry. All right? At 4.5 months pregnant, man, when you're hungry, you are really hungry. Do I have any other women in the house who can say, I know what you're talking about? Oh, only my wife. Maybe this is something I deal with all on my own. But listen, guys, when my wife gets hungry, man, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. In fact, when she gets hungry, as soon as she tells me, you know what, honey, I'm hungry, I need to get something to eat. All right. We start heading home. We start cooking something. We're headed to a restaurant. She'll tell me 3 more times before we get there, honey, I'm so hungry. I'm starving. Listen, because when my wife's hungry, man, nothing else matters. You and I need to be the same way when it comes to the things of God. We need to be so hungry for the things of God, so thirsty for the things of God. You know what? Lord, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter if I get that promotion on my job that I want. It doesn't matter if I get the house I want. It doesn't matter if things work out in regards to you name it. God, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for you. God, I'm hungry. God, I'm thirsty. Nothing else matters. Listen, guys, I go to the doctor about once a year for a checkup, for a physical. And, you know, you go into the office there and they check you out and they ask you all these questions. They take my blood, right? So they take the blood, they send it off to the lab and it's whoosh, whoosh, going around on the machines. And, you know, they look at all the charts and everything. And then my doctor brings me back and he says, yeah, here's what the readings say. You know, you're healthy this, you're healthy that. But I've noticed every time I go once a year, he asks me these certain set of questions. And one question I remember in particular, he always asks me, Joey, what's your appetite like? Do you have a good appetite? Are you hungry often, as you know, like you should be? Breakfast, lunch, dinner. What's your appetite like? Why? Because for the most part, if you have a good appetite, you're healthy. You're a healthy person. If you have a good appetite, you're a healthy person. Well, it's no different spiritually. If you and I have a healthy appetite, if you and I have a healthy hunger and a healthy thirst for the things of God, hey, listen, you're healthy spiritually. You're healthy spiritually. So tonight, how hungry are you? What are you hungry for? How thirsty are you? What are you thirsty for? Really, how healthy are you spiritually tonight? What does your heart thirst for? If you look at this verse one more time with me, actually 2 more times, the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I like this verse in the ESV as well. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Listen, tonight, guys, God's promise to you, listen to me, God's promise to you tonight is if you're hungry and you're thirsty for the things of God, for righteousness, you shall be filled. You will be satisfied. You're not going to be hungry. You're not going to be thirsty in vain. Listen, you're not going to be hungry and thirsty for the things of God only to be disappointed. God is more than able tonight to fill you with all that he is and to satisfy every portion of your being. Amen? God's promise to you. Amen. God's promise to you is that you will be filled. God's promise is that you will be satisfied. Tonight, remember, we're talking about because God is after all of our heart. Yea, verily, even as Christians, because God is after all of our heart and all of our life, there are 3 things about our heart we need to consider. Number one, what is our heart full of? Number two, what does our heart thirst and hunger for? And how much do we thirst and hunger for the things of God? And then number three, what does your heart look like? What does your heart look like tonight? Go ahead and let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. If you don't know where that is, You can find Isaiah. It goes Isaiah, then Jeremiah, then Lamentations, then Ezekiel. Ezekiel is just before Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. This is what the Bible says. It says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now, before we go any further, let me just tell you a little bit about this verse. God is talking here. And God is referring to what takes place in when you become born again. The new birth experience, what actually takes place. And you can read about it in Hebrews. The Bible says that, man, in the Old Testament, when people sinned, they had to take the blood of bulls and goats. They had to offer an animal sacrifice for God to cover their sin, all right? But the Bible goes a step further in Hebrews and says, but the blood of bulls and goats didn't have any power to make you new in your conscience. Didn't have any power to set you free. Didn't have any power to cleanse you and give you a new heart. And the Bible comes along and says, but the blood of Jesus has cleansed us and has cleansed our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The blood of Jesus has literally come, set us free, given us a new heart, made us a new person, wiped away the past, the power of the blood of Jesus. And so God comes along here prophesying through Ezekiel about what's going to take place. And he says, again, if you read it with me, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And so tonight, what does your heart look like? Tonight, does your heart look like this stone? I'm holding this stone in my hand, and you know what? This rock is kind of cold. This rock is hard. This rock is it's unmoldable. It's unresponsive. It's insensitive to my touch. I can't do anything with this rock. It's a rock. Did I get the point across? No, I'm just kidding. So what does your heart look like? The Bible says that God would take the heart of stone out of our flesh and give us a new heart. Tonight, is your heart like this toward the things of God? Cold, hard, set in its own ways, immovable, you can't ply it into anything, can't mold it into anything. Tonight, what is your heart like? Is it like this stone? Or is it like this Play-Doh? This Play-Doh has never been touched before. Or is your heart like this? Because this is what God is after. Listen, this Play-Doh is moldable. This Play-Doh is pliable. This Play-Doh is responsive to my touch. This Play-Doh is sensitive. I can make something out of this Play-Doh. In fact, when I pulled it out of the canister, I'm actually the first person to touch it. It's brand new, straight from the children's ministry. Whoop. But when I pulled this Play-Doh out of the can, it was kind of cold, but I can already feel the heat of my hand warming it up. I'm literally transferring who I am into this Play-Doh already. So is your heart like the stone, or is your heart like the Play-Doh? How many of you in here can raise your hand and say, I remember when I used to play with Play-Doh? All right. That's pretty good. I remember back in my preschool years and my kindergarten years, whenever they'd bust out the Play-Doh, man, I always wanted the new Play-Doh. I had to have the Play-Doh right out of the can. Why? Because I knew it was the best Play-Doh. Didn't have any rough edges, didn't have any, you know, little balls that people had rolled up and left, you know, out. I could take I could take the whole entire piece and do whatever I wanted with it. God is looking for such a heart. God is after such a heart. Not a heart of stone. Not this. But this. Tonight, I remember hearing a preacher recently talk. And I don't know if this was a true story, but basically, the preacher said, he was talking about how they took this big piece of marble. It was just a big mass of rock, just flat out raw material. They put it in front of an average person, and they said, "What do you see when you look at this piece of marble? It's just a huge piece of rock. Can you do anything with it? Would you like to put it in your house?" And they're like, "Man, get that out of here. I don't want to see that." But then they took this huge piece of marble, this just massive rock, this raw material, and they put it in front of a craftsman. They put it in front of a potter, and they said, "What do you see? Can you do anything with this? Can you put this in your house? What is it that you see?" And the craftsman, the potter, answered back, "I see a masterpiece. I see it. I see a masterpiece. In fact, I see a stallion with eyes of fire. I see a masterpiece. I see a bald eagle flying over the mountaintops. I see a masterpiece." Listen, tonight, young adults, God sees a masterpiece in each and every one of you. God sees something great. God sees something mighty. God sees something that's worth it. Each and every person under the sound of my voice, God sees a masterpiece in you. You may be sitting there tonight and say, "You know what, Pastor Joey, but I've got rough edges. I've got issues. I've got these things." And listen, we all do. The only difference is will you be faithful? Will you make a decision tonight? "You know what, God, every day I'm making sure you have all of my heart. Every piece, every portion. God, I'm making a decision that every part of me is before you." Because it doesn't matter tonight if you're like the rock or the Play-Doh. God can make a masterpiece out of you. God can make a masterpiece out of you. And so tonight, what does your heart look like? And will you be faithful to bring your heart before the Lord? Now imagine for a moment, just in closing, before we close, imagine for a moment if that big piece of rock, that marble, were to say to the craftsman, "You know what? I'm going to give you 75% of me. I'm going to keep 25% to myself." Would the masterpiece ever get finished? Would it ever be worth putting in a museum? Would it ever be worth standing in somebody's home? No. The master, the craftsman, needs 100% of all that you are. So tonight, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are those who seek God with their whole heart. Did you guys get something from the Word of God tonight?